Good morning. Welcome to Park Street Brethren Church. We're grateful that you are worshiping with us this morning. Grateful for our community this morning. I was watching this place up fill with faces of family and friends, and just grateful for the many blessings, but you and this faith community is certainly one of the ones in which we are most grateful. We are traipsing our way through the year. For many of us, this week is kind of the last week before school starts back up in the fall. I know the teachers, they're starting on Monday, but for the rest of us, we're enjoying one last week of summer. And there are many things that we could orient our schedules around, whether it would be school, it could be work, it could be different extracurricular activities that we really look forward to. But for centuries, the church has oriented their calendar and their time around the person and ministry of Jesus Christ. And we've attempted to do that in our way this year. We've attempted to say all of the other realities of the calendar are still present and at work in the world, and yet, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are attempting to remind ourselves that Jesus is at the center of everything about our lives. And so we began the year with all of the seasons that kind of celebrate Christ's coming, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. And now we're marching through ordinary time, and that little dot that indicates where we are on this liturgical calendar keeps going around the circle. And if you're like me, you're noticing we're halfway between Pentecost and Advent. And I mean, it's just crazy how the year just kind of evaporates in front of us. And yet, because of that reason, we want to remain present to the reality that every day and every way, Christ is available to those who confess in his lordship, and he wants to lead us into the future that he is creating. We are going through the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book about gleaning wisdom, about acquiring our inheritance from men and women who have lived faithfully before us, and they're handing down the best of what it means to be faithful to the way of God. We've kind of outlined a little bit some of the structure of Proverbs. So there's this intro in chapter one, followed by several speeches that comprise the next nine chapters. And then there's this smattering of different ideas. Some of them don't always seem connected, but if you read them all congruously, you read them all in one sitting, you begin to notice that there are themes that come out before the last two concluding chapters of the book. And so we've kind of been laying out this idea of that wisdom and fear of the Lord is kind of the heart of Proverbs, this idea of getting wisdom by recognizing that God should be approached with reverence and awe and respect. That's the foundation of all this wisdom. And then we've kind of been talking a lot about Proverbs as an invitation for us to consider everything in our life as a gift that God has entrusted us to steward. And so in week one, in a zany way, we talked about stewarding our bodies. And I just kind of wanted to put the opposite of these things up, just kind of to highlight. So you could be healthy or you could be unhealthy in the way that you steward your body. The following week, we talked about the integrity, which is stewarding our character. So you could be a person who stewards your character and you live a life of integrity, or you could be a person who doesn't steward that very well and you live a life of duplicity. You're not always honest, you're not always living, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're not speaking the truth in love, right? This week, we're going to talk about the idea of diligence, the idea of stewarding our work or stewarding our vocation that God has given us. And you're either being diligent with the work God has given you, or you're being negligent with the work that God's given you. And I realize that there's probably shades in all of these. It's probably not like a light switch. You're either totally diligent or you're totally negligent. But it's a good framework for us to think about, am I being faithful to this gift of work that God has given me? And the next few weeks, we're going to talk about some other things. Next week, we're going to talk about justice. And the opposite of that is exploitation, how we're stewarding our society, how we're stewarding our communities. And the following week, we're going to talk about hospitality. And the opposite of hospitality is selfishness. So how are we stewarding our resources that God has gifted us with? And then the final week, there's a huge theme in the book of Proverbs about fidelity. how we're stewarding our sexuality. The opposite of fidelity would be promiscuity. And so we're kind of giving you a heads up. That's still a few weeks out, but that's going to be a PG-13 sermon. There's a lot of kind of fairly explicit thing in Proverbs to the careful reader. And so we're going to be talking about that because we think a church is a great place to talk about our sexuality because the Lord invented and is the Lord of our sexuality. And so why not chat? So kids are certainly welcome, but we'll trust parents to discern what age of appropriateness it should be. Sadie, if you wouldn't mind leading that slide up, I just want to mention, I've been thinking about this list a lot and the opposites of what we're invited to. And Proverbs often does this. It often kind of lists things in contrast. You're either diligent or you're lazy, right? There's all these contrasts we'll see in the verses today. And my wife and our family and I, we've been so blessed this summer to spend quite a lot of time actually with people who are not born and raised in America. This summer we've kind of hung out a little bit with people from China, from India, from South Africa, from Spain, Belgium, from Morocco, and recently from Cuba. So we've been spending times with a lot of people who do not have this kind of American. And I've been just thinking about the way the rest of the world views Americans. And you think about that list on your left. Are we healthy, people of integrity, people of diligence, people of justice, hospitality, and fidelity? Or is our reputation in the eyes of the rest of the world unhealthy, duplicitous, negligent, exploitative, selfish, and promiscuous? There's probably different people in different groups have different opinions. But I think honestly, based on my conversations with others, there's a lot more of our reputation on the right-hand side than on the left. And I can't do anything about that, and neither can you. Like, we can't control the way the world sees our country. But you and I can do something about perhaps the way others outside of the faith see those who claim allegiance to Jesus Christ, right? That is something you can control. And so this invitation constantly before us in Proverbs is to gain wisdom and to follow the path that's laid out before us, again, by men and women who have discerned faithful ways to give God glory and steward the resources and gifts he's given us well. In the beginning of his book, The Way of the Wild Heart, Christian author John Eldridge describes a field guide leading him through grizzly bear country and the Chichagof Island of Alaska. The terrain is very hard to navigate. There's a large amount of undergrowth, and underneath that is about a foot of or more of very wet moss and peat. So every time you try to take a step on this island, you kind of get sunken down and tangled up in the quagmire of the bog. And he was talking about him and this group traveling through this terrain, and it was kind of really difficult until the guide led them to a established grizzly bear trail. Now, why you would want to walk on that is a different question about wisdom. But he noted that as soon as they stepped foot on this established trail, all of a sudden, all the challenges they had walking were kind of evaporated because these bears have been using these same trails literally for centuries, and they have created over time a level and stable path in the midst of the quagmire. And he said when he stepped foot on it, he actually felt a sense of holiness, this sense of in the middle of all the quagmire and all the things that could bog us down and tangle us up, there was a way, a trusted way, an established path for people to walk in which their footsteps would be secure. That's a great analogy for wisdom in Scripture, right? This is a well-established path of living life. Remember, Proverbs is not necessarily a book about promises. If you do this, it will always go well for you, but it's a book about probabilities and possibilities. If you live your life in such a way that you're always living with integrity, you're always working with diligence, you're always stewarding the resources God gave you with intentionality, more likely than not, you will succeed and have a wonderful life. Okay, one more intro before we dive into scripture this morning. How many intros can you handle? I don't normally do trigger warnings, but I'm going to do one because I'm about to talk about the Cleveland Browns. So prepare your hearts. Last Tuesday, Netflix released a documentary on former Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel. How many of you guys have watched it already? Just one? Two? Oh, great. I'm going to tell you all about it. This documentary came out on August 8th. It's called Untold, Johnny Football, and it's the story of former NFL quarterback Johnny Manziel, who was an absolute all-star college athlete in 2012. His freshman year, he played at Texas A&M, and he broke all kinds of records. He had 3,000 passing yards, which is the most any freshman ever had in the season. And he had broke three different offensive records in the SEC, and he capped off that first year at Texas A&M by winning the Heisman. That's the first time a freshman had ever won the Heisman Trophy in college football history. 2 years later, he announced that he would not be returning to Texas A&M for his junior year, but he would be opening himself up to be eligible for the NFL draft. And of course, because we can always pick him, can't we? The Cleveland Browns selected him, number 22 overall, first round draft pick. And if you are familiar with the Browns at all, it always leads to heartache. And so despite the fact that he was an all-star, amazing talent, incredible athlete that showed so much promise in college, he had two really unimpressive seasons and then was let go of the Cleveland Browns in 2016. Not only was he released from the Browns, he was dropped by his agent and he ended up leaving the NFL altogether. And so you might think, okay, well, if you're not a football person, what happened, right? How could 2012 Heisman winner, freshman, all-star, look like the most promising of athletes, and then within 2 years, everything was falling apart and he gets released? Well, here's what were the issues. There were off-the-field issues in which he kept getting arrested for partying, fighting, consuming drugs and alcohol. There were domestic abuse issues, living irresponsibly and recklessly. And then there were also on-the-field issues in which he would not show up to meetings. He routinely showed up to practices and games hungover. He was unresponsive to coaching and attempts to motivate him. And he was unwilling to put in even the smallest amount of effort to improve himself. And in this documentary, there's this famous scene in which one of the hallmarks, if I'm boring you, it's almost done. I'm told one of the important parts of being an NFL quarterback is you have to study film in order to perceive different coverages that you might be facing. And so every team gives their quarterback some device to study film about the opponents that they're going to be facing. And unbeknownst to Johnny Manziel, the Browns can track how much film he was actually watching, okay? And so he's been awarded an $8.4 million contract to be playing for the Cleveland Browns. And he's in the NFL, which is the highest and most competitive league on the planet. And after several weeks of which he had this device to watch material, the Browns were able to determine that he has watched 0.0% of the film that he was required to watch. I don't know what happened. Johnny Manziel is an embodiment of what it means to have all kinds of potential and talent and zero diligence in applying your gifts, and the results speak for themselves, right? Let's turn to scripture now. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. We're going to be, again, in this series, we're kind of pulling out all these themes that are kind of shotgunned throughout the book. But we'll start with Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Next time my kids don't want to do chores, I'm just going to tell them that. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Proverbs 10, verse 4, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Proverbs 12, 24, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. That's always the way it goes at my home. Laziness is reward for forced labor. I'm normally the one being enforced. Proverbs 21, verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. So we keep seeing these themes, again, scattered throughout these collection of wise sayings, these inheritance of insight that is kind of handed down through us through the generation. We keep seeing over and over again this instruction for us to be diligent, which means to focus and to work with intentionality, to do our best, whatever the task is that we're called to do. And again, Proverbs gives us this advice that if we do those things, it's probable that things will go well for us, right? That we'll have wealth, that there'll be ruling, that there'll be profit if we do those things. And again, the stark contrast to diligence in the author's eyes of Proverbs is laziness, just being a sluggard, of not working, of not putting any effort in. And the consequences, the probable consequences of that approach to life is for you to be in poor, in being forced labor upon you, and things not going the way that you would like. There seems to be kind of two different streams that are flowing, and I have a sneeze. I'm trying to work on it. Just give me a moment. Okay. I talked him out of it. So there are these two streams in culture right now that seem to be antithetical to one another, in which I'm assuming you are bombarded by them as much as I am. And these two streams, for lack of better words, I call the first one hustle and grind culture, right? Where it's all about working, 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 taking no excuses, taking no prisoners. If you're not working, then somebody else is outworking you. There's just all this idea of that you have to go and make things happen. No one else is going to do it for you. Grinding, 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 and that's going to be a path to success. And then there's another stream in culture right now that, for, again, lack of better word, I'm just going to call toxic self-care, which seems to be the antithesis. It's all about you making sure that you every moment are treating yourself, right? And not pushing yourself and not stressing yourself out and not taking on too much and setting healthy boundaries and always prioritizing your health and your happiness and making sure that your comfort is the main thing that you're always fixed on. And those two streams could seem to be antithetical. They could seem to be like one is all about working hard and putting in the hours, and the other one's all about kind of kicking up your feet and enjoying the good things of life. But really, what differentiates both of those things from the biblical witness is for both of those approaches to life, you are both the initiator and recipient of all of your efforts. Does that make sense? Whether you want to hustle and grind or whether you want to treat yourself every day, all day, you are the one initiating it. And then you are the recipient of the bounty of one or the other of those choices. The message of the gospel is radically different because the gospel insists that Christ is the initiator of every gift and work that you've been called to do. And he's also the recipient of all of your work and all of your striving. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 17 as well as verses 23 and 24. It says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And again, Paul reiterates, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Anyone who is stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And then finally, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Look at that radical departure from those two cultural narratives that seem like to be prevalent options in our world right now. That it is God who provides the strength, God who provides the gifts, God who provides the ability, and then it's our calling to work with diligence, to bring our best, to bring excellence to whatever it is we do, whether we're serving, whether we're working, whether we're speaking, everything that we do, we bring excellence to it so that the name of Christ might be praised among those who are receiving the fruit of the work that we do to the Lord. And Sadie, if you're willing to put 1 Peter 4:10 back up, I feel like we could spend a lot of time just with this verse because it's reiterating everything we've been saying in the book of Proverbs, this idea that everything in your life is a gift from the Lord that you are invited to steward, right? And no matter what the gift is, some of you are great with computers, other you are great at baking, some of you are great with cars, some of you are great with numbers, like whatever the gift is, you can use it as stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Can we just pause on that for a second? Think of a lost and broken world that are in need of the grace of God. What will be the way that that grace is revealed to them? Obviously, the clear presentation of the gospel. But what's a methodology that the gospel can become clearly communicated to the world that's in need of God's grace? Well, Peter argues, you simply stewarding the gifts that God has given you and serving others well is the method by which God's grace can be communicated. That's kind of startling, I think. Oh, like your work could have an eternal impact. Because your work isn't just something you do to pay the bills. Your work can be a methodology that God uses to get his grace to the world that needs to know Jesus. And so then the exhortation. So if you're going to speak, go ahead and speak as if you're speaking with the Lord's voice. If you're going to serve, serve with the strength that the Lord provides. Because the work that we're called to do itself can give God glory. Last week, we talked about integrity, and we talked about how having integrity is how you steward your character, what is true internally. And we kind of gave two very simple guardrails. How do we stay on that path of righteousness? Do what is right, speak the truth in love. In many ways, living a life of diligence is how you steward your vocation, what is seen externally. And these sentences are less short, but I still think they provide a lot of framework. Number one, that God is the recipient of your work. God is the one who gets glory. God is the one who is ultimately receiving what you bring. And then your work, your good work, is a testimony of God's grace. He's both the initiator and the recipient. In local news, seemed to be a lovely afternoon yesterday. Sun was out. There was a little bit of wind, but nothing too alarming. Tornado sirens start going off, right? And apparently, a downtown business, the pizza place, was hit with a bolt of lightning. Yeah, you didn't know that. Not only were the pizzas oven roasted, but everyone inside. No. it's not funny. It didn't happen, okay? Just. And I can't help but think, isn't that just the way of life sometimes? You know? Seems like things are normal, everything's okay. You might be experiencing a little bit of headwind, but nothing crazy. And then out of nowhere, sometimes life can get you a bolt of lightning. And everything that you thought you could rest your hope on gets short-circuited and fried. What do we do in a world in which everything is so fragile and life sometimes seems so tenuous? If you are a person who puts all of your hope in your ability to navigate the challenges of life or finds all of your comfort in the physical realities of this world, you are putting yourself at exceptional risk because those things can go away in a moment. But the wisdom of the scriptures and the testimony of Jesus is there's another way to live, a way in which we put all of our hope and confidence not in ourselves and our ability and our comfort isn't found in all of our possessions or accumulations, but rather our hope and our comfort are all located in the eternal and unbreakable promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And scripture says time and time again that nothing can take that away from you. What does it mean for our faith community to view our work not as something that we do out of our own strength to provide for us and our families and make our lives more comfortable and continue to follow the path of the kind of worldly, sometimes unhealthy, sometimes duplicitous, sometimes selfish, promiscuous American dream? But what does it mean for us to view every day as a gift that we are invited to steward, including the job that you don't always love? What if Jesus was the ultimate recipient of all of your work, and that Jesus was the initiator of everything you did? Would you live differently? Would you serve differently? Would you speak differently? And if so, why don't we start doing that more? Let's pray together this morning. God, we love you. And we're so grateful that in this world that is full of sin and darkness, in this world where it's so easy to get entangled by the temptations to go off the path, we do not have to forge a way forward on our own. In fact, the best thing we could do is to follow in the footsteps of faithful women and men who have gone before us as they've followed you. And I continue to think about all of my heroes in life and faith, and they were not men and women who did anything other than were faithful to steward the gifts you gave them. And so we pray we would be found faithful, whether we are making 17,000 peanut butter sandwiches for a camp during the summer, or whether we are volunteering our time to serve our kids in our church community, whether we are serving our neighbors, making meals for those who recently had surgery, expressing our faith to people who are inquiring about why we live differently. We pray that we would be found faithful. Help us to get over the temptation to be lazy, to be negligent. Help us to show the world how good you are by how diligently we serve in Jesus' name. We pray all of this in the strong name of Jesus, and God's people said, amen.